Hello, welcome to the main event. We are here talking about a movie on the podcast that is called Popcorn and Plot Holes.
Hey, he made it. He did it.
I'm doing something different.
Sure.
It's Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scar Giver, a.k.a. Curse of Santana, a.k.a. Curse of Zack Snyder.
Yeah, well, yeah. We're the cursed ones, but yes.
We might be. With us, as always, Luciano.
Please, no.
You chose this. Spencer?
Rebel Moon. Rebel Moon. Rebel. Everybody, Rebel Moon.
Rebel Moon.
Rebel Moon.
And other Chris has joined us once again.
Yes,
AKA
indeed.
Other Matt.
Secondary Chris.
AKA Matt.
Yeah. Other
General
Chris.
General Chris.
Other Chris suspiciously was unavailable to watch Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scar Giver.
Yeah. Yeah.
How convenient. Mm.
I called him out on that one too.
Yeah. He's like, I have to go do things.
Yeah.
Oh, he pulled what is that? I have to return to my home planet.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Pucci died on the way back. Yeah.
My people need me.
He's the smart one.
Yeah, he's the true winner of this podcast.
Let's waste no more time. We did, in fact, watch Rebel Moon Part 2,
The Scar Giver.
Buckle your seatbelts.
Zack Snyder. Joint. Yeah. I have to put this joint on this cursed joint on Zack Snyder. He directed it. He wrote it. He may have starred in it to some degree. I can't tell.
Defecated on top of it.
Nightmare joint rotations.
Normally, we start with something we liked with this movie. And so I'm going to start with this. I don't want to hate you, Zack Snyder.
Me neither.
I think you have some really fun ideas. And I think some of the visuals you employ are really cool. And I'll stop there because I'm being positive. But there's a humongous butt coming in the very near future.
Yeah, I was going to say the most pregnant butt in the history of time.
Would you guys like to share something else positive?
I have one. I knew there was a moment of this movie that I was like, I knew exactly. I'm like, oh, this is my positive point right here. And it was when they were sliding down the ship fighting. That was cool and different. And I liked it. I appreciated it. And because most of the fighting in this movie, I was kind of like, I don't want to say falling asleep, but my eyes were like glazing. But that was like, I was like, oh, that's cool. And I'm with you, Matt. I don't want to not like you, Zack Snyder. If you've listened to our shows, you know I like Zack Snyder. I've been a long time Zack Snyder.
Apologist.
I wasn't going to say apologist, but I would say that's half. And this movie made me think that maybe, just maybe, I was wrong and the world was right. Because I was like, oh, this is what happens when he's given free reign.
Oh, this is why.
Like, oh, it almost was like, maybe I don't want to see the Justice League trilogy. You know, maybe this was for the best.
Oh,
but,
Lord.
Sorry, this is the positive. I like when they slid and fought with swords. Thank you.
Great job.
Awesome.
Other Chris, Matt?
I liked the singing.
Did you really?
House.
What? Are you?
I'm trying to look through my notes here to find out.
They sang when they had the meal.
Yeah, they did sing. That was
It was.
I wanted to jump out of my skin with cringe.
Well, hey, it's Matt's.
It because nothing else.
Yeah,
is
it's Matt's positive scene. We don't give a fuck about yours. You get your own time, Luciano.
I thought it was wonderful, mostly because nothing else was happening, and that was nice. I also liked that it was over. And I didn't have to watch it ever again.
No, that's where you're wrong. We're watching it again right now. Turn on your TV. It's already up.
Surprise!
This is actually, we're changing the name of the podcast from Popcorn Plot Holes to Rebel Moon over and over again.
Yeah.
Rebel Moon, the lifestyle.
Do I have to find something I liked?
Crank.
You can abstain from the question, but we're not going to let you. Okay, answer nice.
Okay. Fine. At least Gunner's dead. There.
Which one's Gunner?
There.
That was moving on.
Yeah.
He's like the main dude that hangs out with Cora.
The love interest. Yep.
Yeah, he's like her love interest.
Yeah,
At least
his dad and won't be on the third movie.
He's the surrogate.
Yeah, no, I recall. He's the grain farmer, which does not narrow it down. I remember when it seemed, just to jump ahead for one second, when it seemed like Nemesis died, maybe she survived, and then Gunner died, I was like, oh, I don't mind these people dying because they're not like that interesting and they're not like my favorite people. And then I was like, And I was like trying to think of someone else. I'm like, as long as someone else doesn't die.
I was thinking the same way.
Robo Hopkins? As long as Robo Hopkins doesn't die.
I would riot.
Yeah.
I would riot if Robo Druid dies.
Yeah. I think I was more upset when the guy who played Cyborg died in the first movie. When Ray Fisher, I was more upset about him dying for some reason. Than anyone in this.
Yeah.
Wait, he was in this movie for one scene too.
He was the guy with the dreadlocks.
Yeah, he's Blood Admiral Commander Blood.
Oh, were you upset? I was so bored when he died in the first movie. I was like, I don't care about.
I wasn't
this
upset.
Guy.
They're not good movies. But I would like to say like I felt worse for him because he was like dying for his soldiers and they're just starting this rebellion or whatever. And then in this one, I was just like, ah. Just get it over with. Kill me instead.
Take me.
Kill me instead.
He was Darian Bloodaxe, and then his sister shows up at the end of the movie for no reason. Devra Bloodaxe. That's his sister.
Right.
Let's do it. Spoiler alert, everybody. We do reviews at the end of this movie. You don't know our specific letter, but I tell you, you're going to know immediately that it's not good. And it's not good for so many reasons. And I think the spot I want to talk about.
I know what you're going to say. Your main complaint, not enough grain.
it could use more.
Yeah, let's do an actually for how farming actually works. No, I'm kidding.
No, the real question is related to grain in the sense that this was supposed to be Zack Snyder's Star Wars answer. And I just want to know why a movie or a set of movies that are supposed to be a grand space opera lived on one entire planet for the entire story. And talked about grain and really focused on not even a planet. It focused on one tiny village.
Yeah. It's not even a planet. It's just a moon and it's just one village in that moon. That's it. Yeah.
They really doubled down on the grain in this movie. Like, I thought the grain was like the inciting, you know, like just an exciting storytelling. Yeah, like just to get the whole story going. And no, they go hard. There's actually a line, I wrote it down in the movie, that I believe Titus said, grain is our most powerful weapon.
Yeah, he did. He does say that.
When he said that, I literally started
the
laughing.
The worst general in the history of space and time.
So they really went all in on that.
Yeah, I was wondering about that too.
I think Matt, when Zack Snyder said he was going to be his Star Wars, he was referring to his favorite part of Star Wars, which is moisture farming in Tatooine.
In the Trade Federation?
At least we didn't get any racist Trade Federation yet. Mm,
that's fair. Yeah,
give it time.
Yet. Yeah. Give it time.
But
yeah, I don't... You can tell there are grains of like interesting ideas in there.
I'm sorry, did you just say grains of interesting ideas? Well done, sir.
I said what I said, but it's so like overwhelmed by like him smelling his own farts that it's like, that and trying to be Warhammer, right? We've talked about this last time. You weren't here, Matt. Other Matt, other Chris, I don't know what to call you. But this is trying so hard to be for a Warhammer 40,000 and failing like with the masks and all the weirdness and all that shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's almost like he needed a Lawrence Kasdan of his own.
For sure. You know what I mean? He needs a co-writer. We've gone through this before. Zack Snyder needs an editor and a writer, and he really should be
limp. And someone to fucking cut his fingers off if he ever touches a slow motion machine again. Listen.
Slow motion machine.
The fucking slow motion.
Plug in the slow motion machine.
You didn't like the grain porn? You didn't jack off to like all the slow motion grain farming? This one,
the slow motion had a slow motion inside itself, like where it becomes even
slower.
It's slowception.
It's
slowception, yeah.
Yeah, the grain stuff was dragged out so much. Like, I think it was like 30 minutes of grain.
Yeah, talking, no, like the first cutting, half of the movie, yeah, and making flour.
Good old hard work, yeah. Watching them farm.
But that's
it.
Like really probably my main issue with the movie is this movie is the climax to the last movie, just dragged out for 2 hours. Because really,
and boring.
If you just step back and look at it, it's just one battle. The entire movie.
Yeah.
The first act is them planning
this is
to defend their planet. And then the second act is them defending their planet. Yeah. And the third act is them winning in their defense of their planet.
This plot is like three flashbacks in a trench coat. That's what it is.
I love it. One long climax. That is just incredibly boring. Like, I feel like we're married to Zack Snyder.
Sounds like my sex list.
We're just
Matt. Just I like where you're headed, but I want to tweak it slightly. It's not a climax. It's more like they're edging you, and then they ruined your orgasm at the very end.
They're gooning.
Yes, and then you're just really disappointed.
Yeah.
And incidentally, I would like to be referred to as Matthias Bloodstash.
All right, Matthias Bloodstash.
I'm pretty sure I'm gonna.
You would fit in this movie.
Die at the end of this.
Yeah.
You sound like a more interesting character.
And then my sister will show up.
You sound like a more interesting character than all the ones in this film.
Exactly.
But I would say, my God, grain. I would say that is like my biggest issue with this movie as a whole.
The worst part of the grain thing is that in the end, it doesn't even matter. Because
it doesn't even matter.
I did what I did. I did, and I said what I said. Because like they're like, oh, you know what? Fuck this. Just explode it. We'll find grain somewhere else or whatever.
Yeah, I wish it was just like, it's fucking grain.
That was like their whole plan.
Who cares?
Yeah. Who knew Noble liked bread so much? I don't know.
I mean, yeah, like it would be one thing if they were like, making like if this was like a fucking Mad Max style future where food is so valuable, it's like the currency of the universe, then yes, I would understand grain being like gold. But
if it was like a system super hard to reach that they didn't have a space vagina to get there by, and then like going there is super taxi, and then they need, you know, something like that. And not just fucking really grain, like more food. Not just,
and don't make the planet like 10 huts with 30 people. Make it like an industrial planet of grain, like collected.
Like an Alderaan kind of
like
thing.
It should be like that's.
Yeah.
I feel like I was robbed a bit.
Why?
Of the lack of space vaginas. Because I didn't see any of this. And I mean, I feel like
there's exactly one. So.
Should we should explain to our audience that Matthias Bloodstash only watched part two, and if he was a bit confused by anything, do not blame him. He did not have to suffer part one because he wasn't on our podcast the first time.
Well, we suffered part one and we were still confused. Yeah. So I don't think
and we didn't and we were kind enough not to say you have to watch
and
the first one.
Incidentally, being confused.
Yeah.
And incidentally, being confused seems like it's par for the course for the entire cast. I don't think anyone knew where they were, what they were doing.
Nemesis
who
is
they
like,
were talking to.
So what do I do with my hands? Like, we'll fix it in post.
That's a good point, because it's like, so she has mechanical, like cybernetic hands. How did that happen? Oh, was it a freak accident where she, she cut them off herself. Like, what?
Yeah. Why?
So
still don't get that.
This actually brings me to a real question.
Okay.
Korra, when she gets onto the dreadnought, she picks up one of the blue swords, and they call them by names. I think it doesn't not important. But
lightsabers.
No, no, no. Very different.
No, no, they're very, yeah, very, very different from a lightsaber. They don't go wow,
yeah,
wong and wong wong. Yeah.
And she picks one up, but like it's
it burns her hands?
It burns her hands. And so are we to believe that the people who wield these all have robo hands because a human hand can't touch
them? They're wearing gloves.
Yeah, that's what I just assumed they were wearing gloves. But were they inferring that everyone has to cut off their hands to use laser swords?
No, no, I don't think so.
That's actually cooler.
I don't think so.
Like, no.
Yeah, but I don't think it. I think they just have like very. Everybody that uses them has oven mitts on.
I think it would be way cooler if it was like no glove can stop the heat. It's so strong. So they have to have metal hands. I was going to say laser hands. Mechanical hands.
It would be. It would be very, very cool. Warhammer 40K if they did that.
I mean, sure, they're already stealing the bad parts. And so this
might as well go the full shebang and have the dreadnought be powered by the tears of a child or something.
So this is an excellent segue because I really have a question about this. I understand that when you're doing future tech, there is some value in showing present tech in the future because it's gritty, a la like having guns that have bullets still, and that's used all over in space operas because it's like, yeah, that's gritty and cool, but also it makes sense because human tech has gotten to a spot where we're really good at killing things with bullets. We don't need to go past, but he does the opposite when he all like the to fire the cannons. They have like World War II era dials to aim it in.
Oh my God. Don't get me fucking started.
And
on
then
that.
They show.
It took 15 minutes to aim that fucking thing.
Right. And then they show that they're shoveling coal to power a fucking spaceship. And it's like, we have better technology today.
Now, today. Yeah.
To fly spaceships than coal.
That reminded me of what the spaceships even looked like. They kind of looked like, I don't know, like a ceramic slow cooker. It looked like a slow cooker with like engines, like something you'd buy at a pottery bar.
And what do slow cookers run on?
Somewhere.
Coal.
Everyone
knows that.
Exactly.
Full circle.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, and
that also explains why they couldn't get away very quickly.
I guess, yeah. There's no speed. But like, just to be clear, we use rocket fuel because of the gravity and the effort it takes to escape the atmosphere. And you're telling me they can just shovel enough coal to escape the atmosphere from a planet?
With enough coal, you can do anything.
The worst part is they're shoveling coal, presumably to the engines or whatever, right? To keep shit running. But then they also have like a reactor-powered laser with a face on it. So, don't
maybe we
understand.
Got it wrong.
Is
the coal just to power like the elevators?
The coal.
Well, the elevators do have they do have the panoptic sort of like hatches like the olden elevators did.
Listen, so the coal powers the nuclear reactor. That powers
the nuclear reactor.
Yeah, nuclear.
Yeah, it keeps the water cool.
Nuclear. So
if it's with coal, for sure.
The coal keeps.
Yeah. I figured the coal just powered the abs.
No, they feed the coal.
When everyone in here was like a six pack.
Listen, that's because they have a strict workout regimen. Listen, they want a strong team. Everybody has to do.
Because they're shoveling coal every day.
Mandatory Bowflex in everyone's quarters. So and then that's it. We the coal you feed the coal to the giant face and it eats the
also
coal.
Like on that same vein, like they have when they were harvesting the grain, they have like floating like the things where they put stuff on is like floating like hovering technology.
Yep.
It's
the future.
But they're still like using sights.
No, man. They explain that in the first movie. They do it by hand to follow the old ways.
Sure.
They spent like 15 minutes in the first movie
covering
that shit.
That's why they do the coal in the ships to honor the old ways.
It actually doesn't do anything. They're just shoveling coal into the garbage. Keep it up, more fire on the iron, boys.
Gotta keep the old ways.
What are we doing? We're respecting the old ways.
Meanwhile,
all that coal is just heating up like bath water somewhere.
How much coal do you think it takes to fire those cannons?
At least four.
Oh my god.
Go in square footage. Because why not? How many square feet of coal?
Cubic feet of coal. 14 acres of coal to find.
Cubic feet of coal, please.
I don't know the conversion from acres to cubic feet.
Yeah, that's the problem here.
I have no idea.
Just check it. All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough. No, that's a good question.
I think Spencer was right. At least four.
At least four cubic.
I'd say at least 1,800 knots.
Coal.
Knots of coal. Great. Yeah, that makes sense. It's fine. Don't look into it. Zack Snyder didn't make any effort. Why should we?
Yeah, why should we? Yeah.
Are those swords coal powered?
That's why it's hot.
Everything is coal powered.
The coal is in the handle. Yeah, yeah.
Spencer,
there you go.
How can you not believe that everything is coal powered in this world? They're powering their ships with coal. Everything is coal power.
Yeah,
because if
it's the druid
coal power,
yes, yeah, coal power. Because if the druid has batteries, a battery powerful enough to get that druid to run constantly, that would be better for the ship to use than coal.
Yeah, that's true.
No, he's got tons of knots of coal in him.
Even the guns that fire like liquid bolts, that's all coal.
Yeah. Oh, those guns suck.
It's just coal.
They look like paintball.
Yep. Also, if they have the technology to make a droid that's bulletproof like that, couldn't they just all have armor that didn't, that just didn't die?
No.
That costs money.
There you go.
That's
I feel like you just embodied Zack Snyder there. It's like, hey, Zack, should this movie exist?
No.
You're fired.
That's like Ben Affleck telling Michael Bay that it would be easier to teach the scientists to drill holes.
Yep.
Yeah. And he's like, why don't you shut up? Okay.
So I'm sorry. Why don't you shut up and get off my set? Like, what are you, my writer? No, but you fired your writer already. What are you, my editor? You fired him too.
Let's continue to talk about this movie. There's more to talk about.
So much more.
So much more. Let's talk about the main characters that we were introduced just a little bit. So we have Gunner, who, spoiler alert, dies. And we have Cora.
Are you reading? Are you reading?
Reading what?
Like their names?
Well, I just remember like two of them.
What? Matt, other Matt/Matthias. I'll give you $5 if you can name all the characters. Just the main characters.
I will just give you $5.
That wasn't even the offer. It was only upside.
Sexy abs, jaunty hat guy with the like bird. There was
That's Tarek.
Lecter bot.
That's Lecter.
No, that's Jimmy.
So you can't wait. So I have. There's an easy way for you to find out.
There was a girl named Astrid. I remember that.
There was
no.
No.
I think there was some girl named Astrid. No. She had the giant gun.
You owe me $20
Sam.
Now.
That's Her Sam. Name is Sam. Her name is Sam.
A Sam? Oh, is that the dollar store Furiosa? Like the one that just
No, that's another one. Sam is the blonde girl.
Luciana, I'll give you $5. No, wait. I'll give you $5, Luciana, if you can name dollar store Furiosa's name.
I don't know her name.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll give you $5.
It's Milius.
Again, that wasn't the offer, but I'll take your money as well. I don't think you guys know the gamble.
One of them's name was Gunner.
Yeah.
So that was gonna say. You can figure out who they are by like they're all like discount versions of more famous actors. So Gunner, discount Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
Dan, the guy that falls from the ship trying to kill Noble.
Oh, I got it. Discount Hugh Jackman. Yeah, exactly. Like Hugh Jackman.
And then you have Tarek, who's discount Matthew McConaughey.
Right.
You have on the first movie that you didn't see, Matt, you have discount Bill Burr, who was Marcus, I think was his name. So that's the easy
remember,
way.
I don't remember Marcus.
He was the prick soldier. but yeah.
He's dead. He's dead. It's fine.
He is dead, yeah.
So, the cast, let's talk about these people for a bit. I'm going to name some of the cast members, and if you know who they are and you want to talk about, I'll give you context. We have Cora. Do we need to talk about Cora? We're gonna get into her as we go, right?
So she's the main character. Leave her for last. Yeah.
We have General Titus, literally the world's worst general. He was shocked that the Imperium kept bringing tanks and troops that he clearly saw land on the planet.
Yep. And every time, not just the first time that more, like, the reinforcements came, but all three times the reinforcements came, it was like, oh, no.
Did anybody else think that, like, we were going to see his smart general abilities and, like, when they went for the women and children, that was going to be a trap?
Yes, I thought that.
And that was just,
it
like...
was a trap.
No, I thought it was...
Yeah, wasn't it? Like, the...
I thought the...
It wasn't...
The grain people... We're gonna have a trap.
It wasn't
for
really
them.
Like a trap. Like
the women and children just had guns. But like I meant,
it wasn't really.
That would have made
trap.
It really cool.
I thought it was gonna be like that was
slow motion little kids of the corn,
children of the corn. Them
slow motion children of the corn.
Oh, that would have been cool. Can you imagine
smoking soldiers?
The soldiers walk in there and just like get children of the corn
come
to
play
bleed.
With us.
Yeah,
cut grain with us.
Yeah, fucking Noble gets there. They're all cutting grain, like glass-eyed, and yes, grain. We love grain.
Just making the just making like lines of it and snorting it. I'm going into weird places here.
Yeah, well,
I'm gonna get confused. Yeah. I'm thinking the grain is spice again from Star Wars. I'm confused.
Spice is from Dune.
Spice is from Star Wars.
Yeah. Wow. Stop mixing your space.
I thought it was.
Good job, Zack Snyder. Welcome to the podcast.
It's Mr. Bloodstash.
Yeah.
I'll have
you're getting a phone call, Mr. Bloodstash. Bring. This is Zack Snyder. I just heard what you said. I need you in my next picture.
Let's make a movie right now.
I'd be like, sure, I got 5 minutes. Come on, you can bang this.
Five minutes? Give me two. We're done.
So, General Titus, Atticus Noble, who is the main villain.
His name is Atticus? I didn't
Atticus
remember that.
Noble.
Not just once, but twice for the same price.
Right.
Yeah.
Ed's
crime,
the most
evil looking motherfucker that has ever lived.
I don't mind that actor. I thought he was like...
No, I don't either.
Like, he's like one of the better parts of the movies. But why kill him in the first movie and then have him come back and do the exact same thing again. Like exactly the same.
Yeah.
Well, it was like he died worse way, arguably.
Yeah, in this way,
he
gets stabbed in the back. Like, I was like, that was pretty...
By Gunner.
By Gunner.
That's really insult to injury.
Yeah.
I mean, literally.
Yeah.
And you could tell that when they cut their head off that Zack Snyder definitely filmed it with his head getting cut off, and they just did like a snap zoom on her right when she swings the thing. It's like, oh, Zack Snyder's already filming his R-rated cut. He gets two shots at every movie.
Oh, no. We're going to get a Snyder cut in like 4:3 in black and white that's like 6 hours long. Is that what's happening?
If he has a longer version of this movie, I'm going all the way back around it and starting to like him again because that takes skill to make up this thin any longer than it already is.
Yeah. Another 45 minutes of grain harvest.
Yeah, he's gone so perfect. Far into madness that he's come back around to being
a genius. Yeah, yeah.
Probably have a giant.
So,
like,
Matt, you wanted to talk about Atticus Noble?
I like what you say.
I mean, sure, whatever. I'm just throwing these out there. You guys do what you need. I mean, his role in the movie is like. He couldn't have existed. If he didn't exist, the movie would have had the same pacing.
Yeah. He
and
did
also,
way less in this.
nothing would have happened at all because he's the only competent thing that the Imperium has, right?
I mean, he's not that competent.
They had like farmers. They had farmers running around with hunting rifles and fucking Tarek with literally bringing a knife to a gunfight with like running at them with fucking axes. Meanwhile, he's dropping down that trench and fucking T-1000 going through everybody.
That is very Star Wars. The stormtroopers get wasted.
Oh,
and
man.
Discount Darth Vader kicks ass.
The stormtroopers are like expert marksmen next to these people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have some weird notes from him. I'm just going to read you some of my actual notes. I said, that scar looks really sad. It looks like a holistic recovery session went wrong. Quote, damn, my cupping session went too hard, bro.
Bro.
I also wrote, why did he say he would bare his chest like he's never done this? It seems like he would bare his chest a lot. Like, he is definitely running shirtless along the waterfront during family day in his girlfriend's 60s high-waisted run shorts.
So
why on family day specifically?
That's the only day the Imperium gets off is family day.
This is a family day. Yeah, that's the vibe he gives off.
Famously founded on Canadian principles, the Imperium is.
Well, there's...
Yes.
Family day isn't a Canadian concept, sir. Zack Snyder could clearly make it up.
Okay, sure.
It's like a
grain day, maybe.
Grain day.
I have a question, though, just because you brought up his scar. He has the scar. I don't know if I missed something, because for a second I'm like, oh, that's why they call her the Scar Giver, because she gave him that scar.
Sure.
But then I remembered she's already called the Scar Giver.
Yeah.
Did she give someone else a scar?
Not that
maybe
we were shown.
Maybe it was the kid.
Not that we were shown. The princess. The she gave the she's princess a scar.
She gave the princess a scar. That's not wrong.
I thought in the flashback she was going to shoot Balisarius and give him a scar.
Yeah, so did I.
And that's going to be why she was the scar giver.
I also thought that we're going to see Titus being a general, yet here we are.
We just saw him be a bitch and...
I also thought we would see a movie, not a collection of images that cause madness.
Go ahead, Matt.
Well, I was going to say, I think it's time that we talk about the plot hole in this movie. Now, understand that...
we got through two characters.
It's not worth our time. I'm cutting bait on that.
It wasn't worth your decision. It's not worth us.
Understand that we recognize that generally in order to have a plot hole, you need to have plot. And for the most part, there's no plot for this movie. So we understand that. But we do really want to talk about the Imperium. And so we're making that in our plot hole because all the things that happen kind of center around how the Imperium allegedly works or what it is and all that jazz. Because they are the ones that come out, I don't know, they're coming out to, I guess, bring all the worlds back together after the king was killed. I think that's the plot of the first movie. Not important.
I can't give you two sentences.
Just 5 seconds.
Okay, it's
space Nazis.
They were conquering, and then the slain king wanted to stop the war, and then Balsack man decided to kill him because he wanted to continue expanding and taking over the entire universe.
I was saying the Imperium themselves came out to Veld because they subjugating the worlds and going after the resistance.
Yeah.
And so they were looking for the resistance and taking over shit. So they stop on this planet for grain. Is the inciting incident in the first movie.
I cannot not laugh at that.
It's just the most ludicrous thing when you say it out loud like
just, that. Just the ability to make bread so and bread-like products. That's it.
it's like saying super high-tech society, but they needed to stop for pencils.
Yep. Yeah.
And they needed
Post-its and clips. Things.
Yeah.
We need sandwiches.
We need some whiteout. I made a mistake on the forms. Now the guns.
Yeah. All out of whiteouts. The government has to stop because they can't submit forms.
But I'm setting this up because I'm trying to understand the Imperium's initial reason to come to Veld in the first place because it kicks us all off. And really what I want to dig into is what we are told about the Imperium, what we can glean from it, and then likely how none of this makes sense.
What?
No, it all makes sense.
You guys literally just explained to me that Mr. Balsack Alicious was like their leader. I didn't know who he was. I thought he was just some random guy with bad hair. Yeah.
No, he took over with all the knife guys in that cutscene. So let's work through the Imperium. The Imperium is a collection of all the human worlds that are subjugating the rest of space, right?
By the motherland or whatever.
Motherland, fatherland. It's very, very Warhammer-esque.
Yes.
Or Nazi Germany.
Sure.
Same. Let's be honest.
But it feels nicer to say Warhammer-esque instead of talk about Nazis to the rest of the podcast. So we know this is their thing. Now, we know they had a coup and Boss Acalicious killed the current king and his fake daughter killed the daughter of the king. And that's where it falls apart. Because so many questions stem from this. And we'll start at this question because it's in the movie. Why did they need to frame the royal family's murder on anybody?
Yeah.
I don't understand either because, like, clearly everybody in that fucking Eyes Wide Shut / Roman Senate scene were in on it, right? Mm. Like, nobody was going to, like, say, no, it wasn't her, it was Belisarius. No, nobody was going to say that. But I don't know how someone who comes up with the plan that asinine, how I'm supposed to believe that he is like orchestrated this mega coup that it can kill the king and the princes and all that stuff. Do you guys understand why he didn't just have her killed if he wanted to frame her?
Like kill her and then just kill the dude and be like,
yeah, and then say, oh yeah, she did it and we killed her. Yeah. Like, why didn't he do that?
I mean, why even that, though?
No, but I'm trying to, like, just benefit of the doubt here. Let's say he had to frame her someone. Why not just kill her?
Yeah, I think we can assume that he had to frame someone. Otherwise, the people would, let's say, I assume, would riot because they would know that they were killed by
And do like, what? Throw people. Grain at them? Like, who cares?
Yeah. Well, grain is our most powerful weapon.
That, you know, that's my favorite line, and don't you insult it. No, that, I assume they're the people. They don't want the people rioting or whatever, you know, or they don't want an uprising. They want a peaceful transition of power. So the smartest move was to blame it on an outworlder.
Yeah.
So nobody questions. Right. Them
I feel the argument that starts coup. With "I assume." Causes some problems.
Yeah.
Well, listen, this is a Zack Snyder film. You got to assume a lot. Right.
Also, you have to remember she was a decorated soldier. That's why she got the post as the royal family's bodyguard.
Yeah.
Right? So like, why her? But, well, hey, whatever. Go ahead.
So, like, I want – it's fair. These are all fair questions, but I want to tease out instead of focusing on her. If this is – so the Imperium is run by Paul Sokolicious and his buddies that perpetrate this plan.
Yeah.
So what is the Imperium like? And they say it, they do this because they want to keep the war machine going. Okay, so why is the war machine kept going? To what end?
We're not really given a reason, right? It just wants to keep expanding, I guess.
If you want to continue assuming, it seems that they need to expand to get food.
Grain?
To get grain, yeah.
There's only one place in the entire galaxy that makes flour, and it's Veldt.
It's a 4-acre piece of land with 20 farmers, and it's going to feed the entire galaxy if we just play our cards right.
Yeah.
So I think that's the only they don't talk about money ever.
They don't. They don't really clarify. He just what Balsakalicious says is, "I'll be damned if we're gonna let this weakling or something like that get away from my war or take me away from my war or something like that." So I just assume he is sort of like bloodlusty or whatever.
That's such a good point that you guys are pointing out, though, that the main antagonists of the film have no motivation. Like they don't ever show.
No.
It's not even like they're like.
It's just evil like, for evil.
It's not
sake.
Like they're like, oh, we want to eradicate these people because they're, you know, like they can stand up against us, or they're like super against one species or anything. Yeah. They just
that was the first movie's excuse, right? Mm-hmm. They wanted to eradicate the resistance, but it's not that here. Now they're just after her.
I literally wish I could add to this, but I was just so bloody confused. I mean, from the flashbacks, it looked like they just destroyed everything that could be economically viable to them.
Yeah.
Like they had a mine, and they're like, let's blow it up.
Yeah, they destroyed like the fishing village.
Fishing village.
They destroyed
like, no, we don't need no fish.
You didn't.
Which, if you need food, don't you need fish?
You
yeah.
Should.
Fish, nope. Loaves
Listen,
and bread.
Nope.
Loaves
They're on a pure gluten diet, and they will not eat anything but grain, and that is the problem.
Yeah, they're not even flour, making bread. They're just eating the
that's
flour
a law.
Raw.
Balsacalicious is the opposite of gluten-free. He's gluten... gluten-full? Yeah, I'm like trying to think about it.
He's gluten-full.
So everyone has to follow that.
Okay, so no,
we're not given a reason, Matt.
That's fair.
Is the answer.
So, and then what do we know about the Imperium? So, the Imperium, we know that there are dreadnoughts, that each admiral gets a dreadnought, that they go about the countryside, and keeping the peace
and doing whatever they want, including exploding entire planets, as he did in the first planet in the first sure. movie.
Well, maybe, but. We don't know. It just looks like a nuke, but you can be really, really close to it, like General Titus was, and you'll be fine.
He obliterated that planet that was hiding the resistance, right? In the first movie.
Yeah.
Just willy-nilly. He's like, oh, you pissed me off. I'm going to explode your entire planet.
Yeah, and they were willing to like go along with them.
Yeah.
Glass
same,
of planet.
Same
as
with
it were.
with the Tarek's planet, as we see in the flashback.
Same with every one of their backstory. Every backstory at that conversation was the exact same. It was like, and then they came and they killed everybody. He's like, this was me. Well, I lived on this planet.
With Titus, it was worse because they killed their own soldiers to punish one guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
But literally, it's like it was copy and paste the same story six times in a row.
If they need grain that much, I mean, maybe that solves some problems for them in the short term. Just kill them all, and then we don't have to feed them.
Hey, man, that's Atticus Noble's line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Less mouths to feed.
He said it almost word for word.
Yep.
Fewer mouths to feed. He says that. Yeah.
Sounds like you're part of the Imperium, sir.
Tell us what are you doing on that coal?
Guys, I don't know if I trust Bloodstache. He's giving me a bad vibe.
Listen, all right, just because I have some antlers on and I've been creepily watching you from outside for the longest time doesn't mean you should be suspicious of me
also,
at all.
So here's another thing about the Imperium that I don't understand. So like they go around, in the flashbacks at least, they win every fight. They destroy Tarek's planet. They destroy the fishing village. They destroy everything. Mm-hmm. But when we actually see them fight in this, they're the worst military of all time.
No, because they blow up every other planet from space.
They just glass a planet, right?
They were because they
so when they need boots on the ground, they're awful. Okay.
That's Titus's plan, right?
They weaponized the grain, the greatest weapon of all.
Yeah, the greatest weapon of all. Thank you.
Oh, okay. My bad. I hadn't seen that. Yeah,
man.
But then, why even have foot soldiers in the first place?
To get the grain. What aren't you getting? Did you watch the movie?
But if they didn't have the soldiers, they wouldn't have need for the grain to feed the soldiers.
But if they didn't have the soldiers, how would they get the grain?
Oh, God.
Don't question the system, all right? It all falls apart when you do
Luciano,
that.
Luciano, listen, a lot of lessons can be learned in different places in life. And this lesson, I think, is coming from one of the Civilization games. I don't remember which one in the series it is. But you can bomb a city with planes and with howitzers and with nukes, but you got to have troops to take the city. And that's the same principle that's used here. You can glass a planet, but you don't own it until you have a troop on the ground to occupy it.
Boots on the floor.
To get the grain.
You're sounding like gluten-free scum is what you're sounding like.
All I know is Admiral Bloodstache would not let his soldiers talk like this.
Yeah.
No, not ever. No, I would just feed them more grain.
Less grain.
Less grain, more coal.
Yeah, exactly.
More coal. Yeah.
If we
make them eat coal. Yeah.
If we didn't eat anything but bread, if we didn't eat anything but bread, I'd have my soldiers eat each other. But they're not made of bread. Yeah. Not yet.
They're not made of bread.
They're not made of bread yet.
Not yet.
So, I do want to talk about the dreadnoughts a bit because. What we understand about the dreadnoughts is they are aircraft carriers to some degree.
Yeah, because when it goes down, there's a bunch of ships flying out.
Yeah, fly out. So it is a fully operational platform. It has everything you need to.
Fully operational.
It has coal. it has grain.
It doesn't have grain. That's the problem.
It's got a face.
It's got a face.
Yeah, got it.
So, like, these are allegedly very scary things to run into in space, right? That's the impression we're given, at least in the first movie. Does nobody else have any spaceships bigger than like five people?
It looks like it. We don't even see any other spaceships than the ones that the rebels fly, right? The resistance flies.
Yes, that's right.
You mean the pod races?
The pod races. That's correct.
I believe the the ship that the Charlie Hunnam, his ship was a little bit bigger than the pod racers, if I recall.
Like five, six people. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the biggest.
What happened to him? Did he die?
Yeah, he was
bad and got shot in the face shot in the face by Gunner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, insult to injury.
Gunner kills everybody.
For someone Gunner really
has a body count. Like, yeah.
He just pictures them as grain stalks. Just fuck, cuts him down.
That scene where he's like shooting the grain guy that's on the thing, which, by the way, terrible use of grain if it's so bloody important. He did terribly. Like, he missed the side of the guy's face. He shot into it. And everyone like literally sat there and was like, good job.
Well, yeah. Like, really, at the end, when like Korra gets to the hangar and is like going to the ship, he has both Noble and the dude with the sword their back to him, and instead of doing like shoot Noble in the face, no, he barely hits the guy with the sword and then gets shot and dead right after. So
yeah, doesn't he get deflected too? It's just like, oh,
I have no idea.
Technically, terrible. The sword guy dies.
He did
immediately,
die,
and Gunner doesn't die until a much more convenient time of the plot.
Of course, yeah.
But we digress. We're talking about the Imperium and how it works.
Okay.
So, further questions. The medical.
You're asking about the dreadnoughts.
Well, I'm going into the dreadnoughts. So they carry a medical bay, and there's these weird priest dudes, which is actually kind of interesting and cool potentially.
Yeah.
That handle all the health and healing. So we are led to believe that. Did they put his body in a clone? Do they grow him a new body?
I think they put him in like a cocoon that regrew the stuff that
was cool
to bits. It was cool. The scene was cool.
That was like one of the best parts of the movie.
He had a plug in the back of his head. So was it like the Matrix?
Yeah. So in the first movie, they show him like sort of mentally having a conversation with Bolsec Alicious.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But wasn't he a robot in the first one too?
Cyborg.
Cyborg? Isn't he always a cyborg?
Well, they never tell us.
Yeah, they don't clarify.
Which guy? The Noble guy?
Noble, yeah. He has a bunch of, like, plugs in his body that he uses in the first movie to have sex with the tentacle.
Mm-hmm.
And then in this, he gets connected to them for some reason, and I think they regrow him, Matt.
Yeah, they pump some red lights and blue lights into him.
Would there be an extended tentacle and green sex lights scene in this one if there was an extended cut? I feel like that's a missed opportunity.
We just don't have time.
What are you going to take off? The grain scenes?
Yeah. Come on. We have 2 hours. I mean, we can show one battle. And that is all.
One harvest.
No, one sexy-ass harvest.
And that's all.
And yeah, a lot of sweaty guys harvesting.
Yeah. So I just asked this question because they clearly have spent a lot of time on medical science to like clone or heal at least their upper crust.
Right.
Listen, but they have nothing dedicated on, doctors.
Right. But nothing on more efficient ways of transportation through space. I mean, I understand there's no gravity in the space, so
yeah, they have space vaginas.
No, but like when they're not space vaginating around, how do you get from planet to planet? Just coal? That's all we're using.
I guess.
Okay, no, it's fine.
Is that what feeds the space vagina? Like they just
we already went over this. It's not coal. The coal, it goes in the garbage. It's the old ways. It's actually run on a nuclear reactor. We covered this.
Okay, sorry. Sorry, my bad. Okay, so They have nuclear reactors. What I want to know is, if this is an industrial complex, where are they sending the research currently? Where are they spending their research dollars to continue to subjugate the universe?
I want to say something grain related, for sure.
Yeah,
can't all be grain related.
That's just or food. That's it? Food, yeah. Man. They've got
no. They're trying to make fuel out of grain.
They're making. Oh, yeah. They're trying to.
We can do that now.
They're trying to make food out of grain.
That's true.
If only we could solve this one problem. We're just eating flour. If there's only something we could do with it.
We have all this grain. We don't know what to do with it. This is a real problem. Let's get more grain. We'll figure it out eventually.
What if we spilled water on it? Don't do that. That'll
shut
ruin
up. Shut up. And eat your bowl of flour.
It's the future is so dry.
It's so doony. But this is my question. Like, the ship is built like a submarine, which. Again, rule of cool. It looks cool when you're in this tight ship. But like, so you have to stop at every planet every week and be like, hey man, I need some grain for our flour bowls. But it takes no effort to send ships through space.
Every single flashback scene that we've seen, like if you roll back time enough, it's like, so do you have some grain? We need some grain. That's how it starts.
They came to our planet for our grain.
And they nuked it all.
But really, like, they nuked it all. But that's my question is, like, what are they up to? Because they have to stop for food every fucking 72 hours. And it's literally no effort to move a ship through space. There's no resistance. The energy is minimal.
Yeah.
And why don't you make a bigger ship that can hold food for more than the fucking day?
And also they have enough like resources of other kinds. They can travel all around the galaxy. They can blow up planets. They can deploy as many soldiers as they want. They can blow up their own fucking soldiers. That's how much.
Listen, they're investing in lightsabers. I mean, sabers of light.
I thought you were like saber NFTs.
They're not lightsabers. They're laser scimitars. That's what they are.
That's a scimitars usually have more of a curve and not just a flat blade.
Don't shut try up and, to bring your fucking logic into
shut up
this.
And eat your flour bowl.
Magical machetes? Are they magical machetes?
They're not magical. Good. They're that's good laser. Marketing. Laser machetes.
Oh, yeah, but it's space. Yeah, you're right. Laser machetes. Yeah. I need the alliteration. Magical machetes sounded better.
Light?
Like Michael Machete?
Michael Machete?
Nobody said that.
Is that
I said light
is that Belisarius' advisor? Michael Machete, the advisor.
Michael Machete, he's from Queens. Oh.
You know how Atticus Noble has Cassius, who just shows up out of nowhere in this movie? Well, Admiral Bloodstache has Michael Machete. Yes.
He's like, this is Michael Machete. He, his sword traps the souls of his victims. I advise you don't get killed by him.
And it's played by Danny Trejo.
Yes. It's powered, naturally. And his sword is powered by grain.
Yes.
Grain we don't coal. Have that to spare. Literally
it's
anything
coal.
Else
coal
be better. Oh, coal. Coal, we got plenty of that.
Coal powered is fine.
The old ways.
Yeah. Just got to turn a crank and it starts going like a Model T.
So I think, long story short, if anybody else wants a monologue on this, we don't understand the pyramid at all. We don't know what they're up to, why they operate, how they operate, how they're so successful at subjugating the universe.
How can they be so good at what they do, apparently, when all of their leaders and all of their military are so bad at what they do?
Just asking
also,
questions.
What's their long-term goal?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah.
War.
Like, the war is the end goal, is not the means?
I mean, I understand that. It's like constant proxy wars.
As you continue to steal from the Warhammer universe, essentially Warhammer is in a constant state of war over territory. So that's basically that's it. They're just going to fight forever. Yeah,
but in Warhammer, you have like, what, five factions at least with a contention at least?
Five factions. That's very cute.
Yeah.
It's more than that? No, I mean in general. I mean in general.
There's so many factions.
The
the
species, I mean, they have the orcs, the humans, and all. Like, that's what I'm saying. Mm. Right?
Like,
it's not like one of them dominating everything is my point.
Well, according to meetup.com, there's 26,855.
That's it.
Wow. So you're saying what you're saying is a little more than five.
A little more than five.
You're so close.
I was in the vicinity, right?
Based on Wargamer, it's 20.
Wow, what a huge difference.
20, my point somewhere is it's not just two. One it's not like in Warhammer the Imperium of Man is just dominating everything. They would want to, but they're not doing it. Here sure. They're just doing it. Yeah, nobody can put up a resistance, right?
We spent all our time on one fucking grain moon.
Yeah, right. Maybe there's more going on.
There might be a little bit more going on.
I see. I want to see that story. I'll be honest here. Yeah, me too. I want to see that story.
If we assume.
And where are all the aliens? Like the alien wing.
Yeah, they only showed up at the very end. There was like one guy.
There's that one dude.
Token alien. Hey, guys.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even notice that you're right. Yeah.
He's their Akbar.
Yeah. And I was like,
it's a trap.
So, Spencer, I was going to say, he looked more like, you know, the guy who's on the Millennium Falcon with Lando?
Yes. Yes. That guy.
That creepy dude who's drooling all the time.
Yeah.
It's the same. Yeah. This is set on the Star Wars universe.
So what's the name of that farming thing?
What's
the farmer town? What is it called?
Grain.
The Veld.
It's called Veld?
Grain Town.
Yeah, V-E-L-D-T.
Yeah, that's the
name of the moon.
That's the name of the moon, yeah.
Hey. Don't you mean svelte?
Yeah. Mm.
Look at all those hard bodies.
I picture someone being like, Zack Snyder like lost some weight. Like, you're looking very svelte today, Mr. Snyder. And he's like, what'd you say?
Say that again. Ooh, what a
belt?
Can you spell that? Can you spell that for me?
It's like Queen coming up with Bohemian Rhapsody. Svelte?
Would you say that this body is built on grain?
No, I would not.
That's what?
Insane.
I heard grain.
That's insane.
Post it.
In grain?
Yes, you heard grain. You said it yourself. There, you're right. I did.
I'm a genius.
I'm a genius, yeah.
Let's pivot to our questions because we've been living here the whole time. We might as well just embrace it fully. Simple questions, easy questions. And we're gonna do a segue like the professionals like we are too. And so the first question relates to the Imperium. I want to know how the Imperium runs on a day-to-day basis.
Well, you wake up, you have your bowl of flour. First things first. It takes 45 minutes to an hour to take your first shit. Because you're so dried out.
What do you mean your first shit? You shit once a month.
Your monthly shit. Monthly shit takes everybody gets one day off to take their monthly shit.
Yeah. It's like it's a holiday. It's the shit day is a holiday.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
so you wake up, you eat your breakfast flour.
You eat your bowl of flour. You get up, you go to work, you say goodbye to your
shovel some coal.
You say goodbye to your squid wife.
Or husband. We don't judge here.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
And then you go, depending on if you're on a dreadnought or if you're living on the mother world.
You're always on a dreadnought, sir.
Yeah, does anyone live on the mother world?
At this point, there's nobody. They're all in dreadnoughts because that's the only place where there is flour and coal.
Got it. Okay, so they're living on the dreadnought. So they wake up and they go, I don't know, they go to their station either in the coal mines.
Some coal. Yeah.
Or on the laser
gun.
You got to
turn the dials.
But that's only if you had a good production on the coal mines, then you get to be promoted to
that's fine.
Turning the little
day to day.
I was going to say, I feel like they shovel coal to even take a shit. Like, they have to shovel coal in everything that works and runs.
To power the toilets?
We discussed this, right? The coal powers everything on the ship outside of the engines and the guns. And the nuclear reactor, which is powered also by the coal, powers the engines and the guns.
Sir, I believe you are misconstrued there. They put the coal in the garbage because they like the old ways. Yeah. Everything is run on nuclear power. We've covered this.
It's ritualistic.
Sorry. It's ritualistic. My bad. And everyone on the ship does it.
Have we discussed the face yet? What is the face?
We will. I think we're going to get to the face.
It's a whole different question,
that's
sir.
That's a whole other thing.
Oh, okay.
I just want to know the day-to-day for the Imperium. So basically, you wake up. If it's shit day, you get to poop.
If it's not shit day.
You better hold your
goal. You talk to your superior.
Yeah.
You assassinate him. You put on his bed sheets. Yeah. Then you go outside and assassinate more people.
Great.
And then again, just collect more bed sheets, I'm assuming. Because it looked like they were wearing quite a few.
Until it's your turn to get assassinated.
When you get
high enough.
Do you adopt a slave girl that you can pin it on?
You have to.
I mean, you'd pin it on a lot of people, right? But the slave girl is probably a good one. But first you have to have her is kill your child. And then...
Kill your child?
For some reason...
That's not what he did.
Blame her for it.
Kill a child.
Was it his kid? I don't know. I'm very lost in this.
Yeah. Hey, man.
Murder a kid.
This is your interpretation.
Yeah. As someone who didn't see the first movie.
Honestly, it makes about as much sense as the movie does. So
you know, you murder a child, blame it on someone else, you know, the help. And then, you know, go back and eat some more flour for the evening.
and hope you're lucky enough to shit the next day.
Hey, is that like whitish goo that they put noble in? Is that made of like a flour slurry or something?
Yeah,
too
sure.
Far.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think
that was the line. I'm sorry.
I think what we learned here, I don't think there are shit days, but I think it's not a designated shit day. It's a lottery system.
Oh, jeez.
So you wake up hoping you win the shit lottery.
Right.
Could you imagine winning but not having to
Do you
go?
Get assistance? Wait, do you get assistance when it's shit day or you're on your own? Like if you can't shit, you're fucked.
You get to shit. Otherwise, you
know what? I just
realized
what it is. When Noble is in that tank in the beginning, that's shit day.
Yeah.
They're shit extracting day. The shit there from his body.
Because they only eat flour, they shit like this whitish. Like,
you can't
slurry.
Shit. Actually, yeah, it has to be pulled out of you.
It gets extracted through Christmas lights. Yeah.
Yeah. I see. Oh, that now it all makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Cover you in a webbing to contain the odor.
Yeah. Your shit is so dense. It has like webbing inside of it.
But the good news is they collect all the shit from everybody on the ship, and that is actually the thing they fire out of the cannon to new planets.
Yes.
But is that why it takes so long to aim? Because it has resistance.
It's really heavy.
Okay,
so it's just so dense.
It's just so dense.
it's heavier than the heaviest.
It's a collapsed star at that point.
Launching a meteorite at the planet.
So they couldn't go off grain if they wanted to, because they needed to run.
It's integral. And that's why they were so dead set on getting this grain from the planet.
It's all making sense.
Yeah. Great. New question. I think we've answered that thoroughly. It made a lot of sense, everybody. Jimmy the robot.
Jimmy the robot. Already funny.
Or James, as Cora calls.
James, as Cora calls. Jimothy, I'm going to call him.
Jimothy.
Jimothy. It kind of happens in the first movie, but it kind of happens here too. Because Jimothy is on a spirit quest.
And on a walkabout.
Whatever else we can steal from other cultures to make this fit.
High on some sort of peyote.
Yeah, I want to know. Ayahuasca, whatever.
I think we covered the last episode. I think we agreed he was on ayahuasca.
Jimmy got way farther out. He got way farther out this time. What was he up to? What was he doing on his walkabouts? What's happening to him that is altering his mind state? so aggressively?
Well, it would appear he is killing deer indiscriminately because he always has a different antler.
So yeah, that's true. Just, and a cape.
Antlers has he collected via, like, just... There was the scene at the end when they show him, it's like he's wearing an antler crown while holding an antler in his hand. And I was like, where is he getting all of these? Like, was he just hunting them?
He has like a clearing in the forest just full of dead deer.
Don't ask questions.
It's pretty obvious that no one in the Imperium cares about deer, because if they did, they could use it as a food source. And that's not happening.
Yeah, No. We already answered that.
Deer isn't made of grain. How would they eat?
I understand. I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of deer to kill for him to make crowns out of. So,
is blood a fluid?
Yes.
Then we don't eat it.
I don't. Okay, fair enough.
I'm, like, confused, because didn't he admit that he killed a man in his own hands, like, with his own bare hands or something when he was talking to Korra?
Yeah, he shot a guy in the first movie.
It was in defense of a girl.
Yes.
Who was going to
choose her? Also, pretty. Isn't he was, like, supposed to be programmed not to be able to do that, but then he found a way to do that because he was defending her or something like that?
Mm. No, they were designed to kill, to be soldiers. Yeah. But then once the king died...
They're really fucking good at it, too, when we see him fight.
Yep. Yeah. That was kind of cool, but also kind of not as cool as I was hoping.
Because he appears, and literally everybody stops and gapes. It's like, what? A robot?
Uh-oh.
He's also plasma proof or something, or whatever the hell that is they're shooting, that goo that comes out of their guns.
Tiny liquid shit pellets, obviously.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And I think
shit pellets.
That's what color he was.
I think he was, like, going through the level of process to become a druid. That's what he was doing. Like, he was learning the spells and making sure he has enough wisdom on his character sheet.
Opening his third eye and his fourth eye and his fifth eye and his sixth eye.
He has like eight, so it's
he's got eight. So like literally. It's like, does enough drugs and another one opens up.
Yeah, I think he was just huffing deer farts.
Well,
maybe he's a droid. I think that's going to be the twist at the end. He's just some guy who's high on bath salts running around downtown, and this is what he sees.
This whole thing. He's just a homeless man wearing a cape and, like, deer antlers in, like, downtown LA in the modern day.
Yeah, exactly. Just like the Fisher cape, production values.
I think you're gonna say the twist was that the princess who died is gonna be Jimmy the robot.
Jimmy the robot, yeah. That's it. Best ending too. He's like, did you think it was so easy to kill her? I'm like, yeah. She shot her in the face. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
she's fair. A robot.
So does that answer your question at all, Matt? Or are we close or what's happening?
Yeah, probably.
Sure.
Close enough. I mean, that answer really segues nicely into our next question of why do the ships, the dreadnoughts, I'm going to call it the core of the ship because no one explained it, have a face that eyes open when you put bombs on?
Only when you put bombs on.
Only when you put bombs on.
It's like, hey.
It's there to know where to put the bombs, man. That's why it's there for.
It's
bombs here.
I think it's
supposed to decorate it.
Like just it looked like chat. Pimples on its face.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah. So wait, did it have more bombs on its face or just the one?
No, she put like 6 10. Or 7.
Yeah.
Oh, I totally spaced out at that. I just was confused by the face and I was like,
you spaced 100%. Out just like the soldiers who went in there looking for her and saw the thing, the bombs there, and was like, oh, that's interesting. That it's pimply.
Spaced out just like Timothy on a bath salt. Yeah,
they were like,
assault.
"Oh, this is so interesting." The face of the reactor broke out in acne. That's interesting, and just went on their lives.
See, I think it's more complicated than that. I think that the dreadnought is sentient. That's its face. The coal hole is its
asshole?
It had a mouth, so
yeah,
it had a mouth on its face. So the coal hole
is
the asshole. It's his butthole.
Okay, I was gonna say exhaust port to be classier,
but there are a number of holes to shovel the coal into, right?
What? Yeah. You guys don't have more than one hole.
Multiple? Yeah. You only have the one.
I'm just saying.
It's an alien ship, you know. You never know.
And it's sentient, and it only wants to destroy planets. And they didn't even build it. They just, because it wants to blow planets, it made an alliance with the Imperium. Right. Like, you can use me to kill planets, but I get to kill planets.
Also, you have to feed me coal.
You have to feed me coal, even though I don't need it for energy.
Yeah.
Like the old and ways.
That's what it is. There you go.
I just like to observe the old ways, yes.
I just like the taste of it.
And even though our guns are very futuristic, I need you to manually crank them because it feels good.
It feels good, yeah. It's like a massage.
Those links are my nipples.
Yeah, those are the nipples, yeah. You need to tweak my nipples if you want me to shoot. That's what it said.
I only shoot when I climb.
I only shoot with purple nurples. That's the only way I shoot.
Robot's like, there's an enemy on the left. Shoot it. There's no enemy there. I said, shoot it. Shoot it harder. Twist it harder.
That's what it is. It's the jizz.
Yeah, I said that. Jizz. Okay. The ship's climaxes.
Climaxes little bits of gluten shit pellets. Mm-hmm. That's why it climaxes.
Yeah.
Okay. The ship's a squirter is basically what we're getting at.
don't we all?
Yeah. As one does.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. That answered.
So that's why it has questions. A face.
You know how in the scene where Korra, she shoots a little girl who forgives her for some reason? And then.
Yes.
It's just so kind, Matt.
The kid?
That's why. Yeah.
All right.
Because she knew she was going to get reborn as Jimmy.
She knew she wasn't going to die.
She could have forgave her later. It's fine.
She's space Jesus, okay? It's a metaphor. It's very, very poorly written.
It's just like Superman. She's space Superman.
Poorly written.
I got it.
Yeah. No, Superman's already space Superman. He's from another planet.
Different space Superman.
future Jesus past Superman.
Super spaceman. Because,
no, that's anyways. X-Men.
Focus here. Because the real question here is not her. I want to know, the band wore the little Heidi masks, right? The Eyes Wide Shut masks.
The Illuminati eyes.
The eye mask?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Illuminati masks?
And they just played a bunch of music that was very apropos to what was going on the screen. But they couldn't see it. I just want to know what instructions, like they were hired. I'm like, hey, we want to hire your band for a gig. On this dreadnought we're christening, here are the instructions. So, what are those instructions they got?
Can I just say one thing before we get the instructions? I just want to say, in the movie, he stabs the king, and they play playing happy music at first, and then they start playing dramatic music when they start killing the king, and then she pulls a gun on like Bessarius and kills the other men, and they start playing like betrayal music. Yep. And it was just like that, obviously we need explained, but I just want to step back and say, as a movie making, like Zack Snyder, like, what are you doing? Like, wouldn't it have been cooler if it was just playing that classical music through the whole assassination?
That would have been classy and interesting. Can't have that.
And tasteful. Yeah. And then the music cuts once she pulls the gun out, and like, the music just cuts and it gets really tense. I mean, it's so obvious. I'm sorry.
Spencer.
That really triggered
that
me.
That would have been good filmmaking.
Yeah, it's just like...
If we're asking questions instead of answering Matt's, let me ask another one.
Yeah.
Why did they go back to the 21st century to hire that quartet? Because were dressed like regular clothes.
No, music survived. No, fuck you. Answer my question. Question.
The instructions were... Here's $20. You just
play each, right?
Each and a lifetime supply of grain. which is much more valuable.
Spencer, I just assumed it was a $20 voucher at the flower store.
Sorry, yes. Matt, is there any other store?
It was a voucher for grain. It was $20 worth of grain.
Yeah, but that's the only store that exists. So here's $20 in grain coin, the hottest new cryptocurrency. Play during the whole thing, and you know, just go with the flow, just match the vibe. You know, we want it to be seamless.
I that was gonna say, they were like, okay, you're not gonna be able to see anything because they're gonna put masks on you for some reason, but you're gonna be able to hear everything. So I need you to match the vibe. If things are cool, just play, you know, some calm music. And then maybe some killing is going to happen. I don't know. If there's some stabbing, like maybe play something a little bit more dramatic.
Stabby.
Right?
No, what happened? A little stabby. It all makes sense now. They didn't say there was going to be stabbings because they didn't want them to know what they were doing. That's why they have the bags on their heads so they couldn't see the assassination. They said, we are going to be aggressive.
Right.
So if you hear some knife entering people, the turkey is live and speaks and has a voice. So if you
wait, if you hear some knife entering people, the turkey is the one. What?
we're preparing a fancy dinner. We're eating lots of things, not grain. What you wouldn't understand. Just play along. Just play the music. Just go with the vibes. Okay.
I feel like at the end of that. At the end of that whole explanation, all of them would be like, hey, we're no strangers. This isn't our first orgy. We know what's going on. Stabbing, sex.
Yeah. We don't judge.
Music. We got you.
Yeah. And we got, we've seen Eyes Wide Shut. Judge.
Do we need raincoats? No. Are we going to get wet?
Yeah, exactly. They're like, we're specialized. We're a specialized quartet. We will go by sound and we will match the vibe. Don't you worry.
They're from a planet of nothing but orgies. Mm. And they're like the top band, and they were being brought in specifically for that. And they were just
their band name?
This is what we do. Sound effects, wet.
Yeah, what's the name of the band?
Good question.
It's called Matthias Blockstad.
Oh, it's and, it's your band.
Oh, and the leader is right here with us.
And if you want to sign us, just go to MatthiasBlockstad.com.
It's Matthias Bloodstash and his Blue Caps. That's the name of it.
Listen, sometimes we don't have the bags, so we just hire.
I thought
Jeff
the band was put it in with violins.
Oh no! Yeah, I mean Jeff Healy would need the bags.
That's true.
No,
Jeff Healy catching strays per usual.
Too far.
Yeah, as
he's just such an easy target, guys.
Yeah, he can't dodge. He doesn't know when to dodge.
So that is—I think that answers your question.
Okay, fair enough.
Did I answer your question, man?
No. We nailed it. That's definitely what happened. That's great. Okay. Different question. Switching.
I like
gears.
When you say different question to introduce the next question. Different question.
It's the only way. It's the only way to do this. I just don't want people to come to the next question with the, you know, the mindset of the last question. Like this question, it got a little sexual, a little confusing.
What? That never happens.
And so I want to come to I want to have that hard break so people know that we're not thinking that way with this question.
Hard. Nice.
Yeah. So anyways, the question that's not completely not related to the last question. What's going on between Nemesis and that blonde kid?
I mean, I will Jesus say Christ. I was watching that movie and they definitely gave me. And now, listen, we know she lost her kid. The three of us know lost her kid in the first movie. And this
I had no idea.
And this is clearly like a pseudo son thing that they're trying to infer. But I got strong Anakin Padme vibes from their relationship. And I think that's the filmmaker's fault. What?
Sure. Listen, I don't know Nemesis or Bay Duna. I haven't seen her act in any other film, so I don't know. But you generally can't stare emotionlessly at a kid
yeah.
and then smirk once
yeah.
and make me assume that you yes. just miss having children. A little bit more nuance is required.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you're going to make me assume you miss having children, but in a different way.
Yeah.
It was also weird when you put a baby in
me. I could assume that you own a white man.
I'm sure. Okay. Yeah, I don't.
I'm going to assume that this planet does not have child services. It's the old ways.
Old enough.
Oh God.
Oh no. Oh no.
You know what they say.
Sorry, too far?
If there's grain growing on their heads.
Give her. Give her.
Get her done.
Yeah. Give her.
And there's also that weird scene where the little kid says, "I hate sand. It's rough.
It's coarse. And it gets everywhere. Yeah.
And I was like, uh-oh. Yeah. I know where this is going.
Well, you know that in the third movie, Hayden Christensen is going to play that kid.
Full sacrilegious?
For sure. For sure.
And he's going to be what? Hayden Christensen's age of like 45? and she's going to be like 80? Exactly. Okay.
No, she doesn't age. She doesn't age because she cut off her hands.
She's got robot hands.
Yeah.
For hand chippers. For robot. Sorry. Okay. No, we're done. Not going there. I'm stopping myself.
Not going there after you already went.
No, I'm retracting the statement.
I'm going to stop myself. I'm going to stop myself now that I've crossed entirely this line.
I know when the train is going off the tracks, and I want to just reverse it back onto the tracks if that is at all possible.
Spencer, I have a follow-up unrelated question to this. Next question, if you will. Okay. Are Nemesis's swords red because she's hand-gibbering constantly? And the swords, they got a red glow instead of a blue glow.
How aggressive is she doing it, though? That doesn't even
She's going hard.
Very aggressively.
It's powered by its gibber technology. Is that what you're saying?
Gibber tech.
It's the future.
Gibber tech.
It's taking over coal at a lightning pace.
It runs on grain.
It's the only way. Yeah, I think the answer to that is yes.
They get rid of those turny knobs, and then you can just get.
Yeah,
the robot ship got an upgrade, and now to run the guns, you gotta turn them with the hand jibber tech to the left. The future is now.
It's based on the same technology of the dreadnought and the nipples.
Yeah.
Jibber tech.
It's all jibber tech.
Yep. Next question. Unrelated. Tarek has his flashback where we see that all his bird friends get murdered.
Yeah. So stupid.
Where did Tarek get his little hat?
I knew it was going to be. I knew it was going to be the 1930s.
Why? I want to know, why was it like just slightly tilted too?
Well, I thought it was like.
I
thought he was just leaving and it just happened to be in a war zone. He's like, "Listen, Ma, I got to go work for the grain depository in ye old
England." Yeah. And his mom went, "Okay, son, I gotta go suicide." And she, yeah, bye.
I know this like one fishing village. They give out great hand jibbers. Like, it's just amazing.
Oh, is that where she was jumping?
Yeah, bye.
Nemesis's fishing village was below the palace. There. There you go.
That makes sense.
He looked like he was gonna do a Prohibition era like heist,
or some dame was gonna walk into his PI office.
I haven't seen you around here.
Visited by three ghosts. That'll make him feel better.
Yeah. What's a dame like you doing in a gal, dive like this?
That was a gal that was trouble.
Yeah.
She jumped. Oh damn, she jumped. Never mind.
Her legs went all the way up. Special kind of woman. But the the question is what?
Got some pins on
also,
her.
Also, I like that. I like how his planet set the birds.
They were working.
Like that would do anything?
Yeah. It seemed oddly effective, though. So they were taking them down. They were doing it good.
But realistically, like, I actually don't mind the idea of, like, a weird 1930s futuristic planet. The thing that makes it so odd is that he looks like fucking Leonidas from Sparta the rest of the movie. And he's like, oh, my home planet. Where am I? He's fully barbarian.
Yeah. He's like, full like, where barbarian,
I'm from the 1930s. Like, I'm from 1930s wartime.
I was back in my old town.
I wore a funny hat and a button-up shirt. Like, where'd your shirt go? He's like, I lost it in the war.
So to answer your question, Matt.
I must insist you answer where he got the little hat from.
It was his 12th birthday present.
Right.
And he got it at that size. It was like ridiculously huge.
Right.
And he had to wear those to prevent the birds from pecking his head. That's why.
I mean,
the birds recognize the hat as the owner.
Wait.
I would
say. The hat wearer owns the birds? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
All right.
That's why he had to tame the bird in the other movie. Because he didn't have his hat.
I would say it's a family heirloom.
He walked up to the birds like, Where's your hat?
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, I don't want any trouble. Well, then put the hat on.
Exactly.
Listen, bird.
Exactly.
I just come to talk.
I would think that hat was a family heirloom.
If you want to talk, put on your hat.
He's like, my father used to have this hat when he was back in the shoeshine down in old London town. And then he gave it to his son, who gave it to his daddy, who gave it to my mama, who then gave it to me. Now I'm going to go off and earn me a paycheck. That's how
so is this like
up.
The crown of Bird World?
Oh, there you go.
That's right.
Now you nail it. Yeah.
It does look deflated.
I got it from my
and,
father.
Like, bird would have.
Heavy is the head that wears the slightly crooked, tilted, weird hat.
The floppy hat.
Okay.
He got that hat from his father, Andy Dufresne. Andy Dufresne walked a mile of shit. Came out clean on the other side. Wearing a
really like
hat
you,
he gave to his son.
You shoehorned in your fucking
My fucking Freeman impression?
We had no business being here.
I do not know what y'all saying. Andy Dufresne. gave to his son.
What if... So the other option I thought was, is it some sort of like yarmulke-inspired religious item?
Wait, are you saying... You're saying Tyrek is Jewish?
Not Jewish, but whatever the
space
bird
Jewish.
World version.
Space,
yeah,
Jewish.
Space Jewish. Yeah.
Maybe he's the one with the space lasers.
Mm. He is cut.
What does that mean?
That's such a stretch that I love
yes,
it.
Yes, Jews. Famous for being cut. Not in that way.
In that way.
It's in the extended
blood
cut.
Blood stash, yes, it's thorough.
In the extended cut, you see his cut.
It's the extended edition.
The Moyle.
There's the Moyle
scene.
The
Moyle.
The
space Moyle. Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's 25 minutes, that scene.
You wear that hat until you get cut.
Other questions.
And then you take it off to show you've been trimmed.
Wow. Wait, so he was cut when he was like 40? Is that what you're saying?
you wear the hat and turtleneck. God. And you take it off.
And you lose both at the same time. Jesus Christ. Yeah, that tracks.
So Rebel Moon.
I'm glad we established that. I do have other questions. One, it's a simple one, I think. What's Korra's deal?
Just in general?
She's the Scargiver. For some reason.
She's the Curse of Santana.
She's a terrible... She has a terrible moral compass. She's out there shooting children, sparing ball sack delicious. She's out there killing good, hard-working
killing
doctors.
Medics.
Yeah, she has a weird sort of like She has a weird sort of handicap fighting against specific people. Like, she can mow down, like, a bunch of people. Like, we've seen in the first movie where she kills, like, what, 6 soldiers, 7 soldiers? Yep. But then when she has to fight Noble, she just forgets all her training.
No, Noble's a fucking cyborg.
Yeah.
But it's not because of that. She just doesn't know what to do. She just waits until he punches her.
You see him fighting those like guys underground while all the other soldiers really, are inept idiots.
He was the T-1000. 100%.
Yeah, so that's like comparatively when she's fighting the other guys, he's comparatively like the T-1000 because of how bad.
But then Gunner kills him. How do you account for that?
I mean, yes.
Did he kill him though? I mean,
I give up. I give up. You win.
I don't know what Kara's or Arthalaeus' deal is.
Maybe she's mad her name's Arthalaeus.
Yeah, I would understand for sure.
I mean, Bloodstache, you didn't see this, but in the first movie, the people kill her world like they kill every other world, right? And then
Belisarius is there.
Is there, and she like is gonna shoot him then too, and he's like, I don't remember but she doesn't. Doesn't shoot him
with the laser gun that has like a hammer, like a regular revolver.
Yes,
remember that?
Yes,
she cocks it, and then he should just like uncocks it again.
Yeah, it's
and he picks her up
like a Thanos thing.
And adopts her.
Yeah, it was basically
Thanos. What did it cost?
Like everything from this movie, it's clipped
all the grain.
Yeah.
From other movies, yes.
Like, yeah, like every idea in this movie, it's a poorer version of something from another.
It's been better executed everywhere else.
She joins the Imperium Militarium, which are fuck you, Zack Snyder. he also says Mechanicus Militarium.
Sorry, it's Zack Snyderum. Thank you very much.
Snyderum, yes. Yeah, you're right. That's his vulgar Latin name.
Yeah, Zackium Snyderum.
Snyderium, yes. And then she trains to be a weapon, and then she becomes a decorated soldier, and then she becomes the princess's bodyguard, and she shoots her. That's basically her deal.
Yes. And then they don't like her for all that because she's
an off-worlder.
An off-worlder.
Outworlder. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whatever.
What was the question, man?
The question is,
what's Cora's deal? We're actually on pace for once.
Okay, her deal is she's easily manipulated and she does what she's basically told by whoever she's with.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'd say that's pretty apt.
That's why she went after Titus, because she was like, I'm not going to lead this shit. Let's get the worst possible general in the world to lead us.
I'm just literally thinking about whether or not she could make it at the Roadhouse as like one of the bouncers, or if she just straight up get fired by Patrick
Swayze. Roadhouse? So Patrick Swayze is no way she could make it.
No.
So this is my question. This is good because this is actually an important question I had. Swayze versus Cora versus Gyllenhaal. Who wins?
Who eats more grain?
Yeah, first, second, third. Who eats the most flour?
Do they all have mullets or just Swayze?
Well, Cora cuts her mullet off.
Yeah.
Which is a bad move.
She's rocking a mullet.
Poor move, yeah.
So in this scenario, she has a mullet?
Yes.
That's important.
Everyone's optimal peak power. Let's make this exciting.
Okay. Cora and Gyllenhaal? So I would say Swayze loses because Gyllenhaal goes and has a beer with Cora.
Delete him.
On a sandbar in the middle of the ocean. And then they team up with the alligator and they beat up Patrick Swayze.
I disagree.
I agree with all that except for the beating up Swayze part.
But then the gator pulls a switch and is like, no, I love Patrick Swayze. And then the two of them take them out. That's how it happens. And then they.
But it's a more
Swayze
even fight because it's 2-on-2 then.
Yeah. I just think this ends with Patrick
Swayze. I was
going to
say.
Gator.
Okay. No, I think
we were all getting to that.
Yeah.
I mean, that was given.
And then an octopus comes out, and they all have tentacle sex for 25 minutes.
No, no, that's then you're going to make Noble jealous, and that's
Noble's
not
in this
yeah
tryst.
Hold on, guys, I'm writing this down for later.
But what I want to know is, does Swayze use gibber tech to get this done?
Of course, it's the 80s.
That's how he took out the throat with the ultimate gibber tech technique.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has the same gauntlets that Nemesis has. That's how he does it.
No, he grabs the throat and then he goes up and down at such a fast speed that it rips the throat out. It's the original gibber tech.
That's the first known use of gibber tech, you are correct.
Right there.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think we've answered the question of what's Korra's deal. I think that all encompasses
sure.
Nicely. Yeah.
Clear as mud now.
Yeah, no, it's fine. See what else do we have in this list? We answered the Cole thing.
We certainly did.
We did.
Probably we talked enough about it.
Old ways.
There
old
you go.
Ways.
The old ways. Yeah.
The old ways.
The old ways. That's Oh hey, I wanted if two dreadnoughts went toe to toe in space, how would that play out?
With two satisfied sentient robots.
I was gonna say yes. It depends on who is the fastest to come. That's really God the question.
They all got gibber tech, sir.
yeah, but they're sentient, right? There's bound to be physiological differences between them.
Like one's just packing more guns.
Maybe the younger one won't be as controlled and will come first and win.
Oh yeah, because the older one would definitely have whiskey dick. It just wouldn't be able to perform.
Yeah,
a whiskey gun.
Whiskey.
I do want to add that there's this in this scenario. They know they're going to space combat, so maybe the older one could refrain from drinking for a couple of days.
Listen, you don't know how hard his days are, man. You're gonna make him give up the one thing that gets him going? Come on.
Laser rifle dysfunction is something that happens to everybody.
Yeah.
It's nothing to be
eventually
ashamed of.
Is that so? No, actually that makes sense, because I think the coal shoveling is part of the old ways in the sense that the old guys need the coal to help soak up all the alcohol.
Right.
And be able to fire off
Matt,
their cannons.
Matt, I'm sorry to jump in, but we've already covered this. The coal goes in the garbage. That's the old way.
He's fucking standing
on,
by
it's
this.
Running on
it's
nuclear
straight,
power.
It's straight to the garbage.
Yeah, it goes straight into the trash.
Okay, so the old ships don't go into the trash to get the
like
coal?
Literally, they're literally shoving it into the garbage disposal. That's what they're doing.
Okay, check it. So the old face doesn't just slide down there and sniff up some coal by accident.
No. That's what the grain's for.
That sounds like the new way type of thinking, and we don't have that. Okay?
We don't have that. Sorry.
I don't know. I feel like it would take them like 4 to 5 years to aim at each other and then try to fire. Like, they just wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Maybe there's a little ship. Hold on. There's a little ship.
You know what it is?
The one ship shoots the little ship. And then has to shoot the big ship, but can't because it has bad hair.
No.
I thought the little ship helped. I thought the little ship came out and helped the bigger ships fire faster.
Wait.
Through gibber tech.
Is this a fluffer ship?
I think it's a fluffer ship, yeah.
So it's like,
should we get the sex should we get Bloodstash's sex band for this battle?
I think so. Let me go get my
we have to.
Get your violin.
I work better when I don't see it.
No, like,
just saying.
I was gonna say similar to that scene from Holy Grail where Lancelot keeps coming and nobody moves. That's the same way.
Well, if you think about how
you and I remember
until
that movie very
someone eventually,
I don't
until
remember
someone
Lancelot
eventually
coming
comes. Yeah,
I think but I downloaded
the
wrong
do.
Version.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. There.
You didn't watch the Snyder cut of Holy Grail. You didn't watch the Snyder cut of the Holy Grail. That's the
just,
problem.
It's just black and white Lancelot coming over and
over and
over
and over.
Here's the twist.
4x3,
show it all. We show it all.
Show it all.
100%.
I think we're done not talking about Rebel Moon, the Scargiver.
Listen, we had like five different plots going here, and they're all better than the plot of this
movie. I think that's 100% accurate.
I just got it. I just figured something out, guys. Maybe the scar that's given is given to the audience.
A mental scar?
To our minds.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, you're not wrong.
The film is the scar giver, and the scar giveth.
That's not how that English works.
The scar given.
Given the scar. So you're saying that the movie is the curse of Santana?
The curse of the Snyderian.
Right. The curse was inside us all along.
In unrelated news, we're going to give reviews of this movie using our patented S tier system. S is the highest. E is the worst. Is that right?
F. What is wrong with you?
Sounded wrong.
You did what I did.
Yeah,
you're like making fun of me. That's what I did when I was hosting. I said E was the worst.
I'll fix it in post. What I was really thinking is M is the worst for Morbius. That is the bottom, unless you're a Chris of a nature. But let's rank this movie in our system. Randomly choosing, let's go with Spencer.
Okay. I already said F needs more grain. No. Now, famously, I've liked Zack Snyder for most of my time watching his films. You know, minus Sucker Punch, and that was the only one I really didn't like. Rebel Moon 1 also wasn't great, but I will say it was better than this, which is saying a lot, because at least the first movie had some interesting set pieces, and they were at least going to different places, and there was like more interesting things happening. This movie, I said it before, is the climax to the last film. Like, that whole movie's building to a fight between these people, and then the movie ends, and then this movie starts with them prepping for that fight and them fighting. So it's like, there's nothing happens in this movie, and that would be fine if this movie was well made, but when it's not a well made movie, it's the lack of plot really shows how bad it is, because it just feels so long and boring. So I hate to do this to my boy Zaddy
Snyder.
I think this movie is an E. I think it's the lowest rating I've given since Morbius, or at one time I gave a Jurassic World Dominion. Anyways,
Oh no, you've given Fs, you've given E's. Yeah, oh yeah. Shin Godzilla was an F.
Oh yeah, the movie was so bad. Okay, sorry. I retract my statement. This is not about Shin Godzilla.
You've given a few Fs, okay. Yes.
Well, it's the worst I've given a Zack Snyder film. I give this movie an
E. The last one, Rebel Moon 1, you gave a C.
Yeah, see? I actually didn't hate that movie. This movie, I did. And I feel scar giveneth to myself from this movie.
Given. Scar given.
Scar in biggin?
This is your first language, right?
Scar in biggin?
I kind of just want to watch Shin Godzilla now. Is it like a Godzilla movie all about his shins?
No, you don't. Yeah, trust me.
That would
me,
be
you
better.
Don't.
Anyways, E. That's it. I'm done.
All right.
Thank you, Spencer, for whatever the fuck that was.
It was a lot. It was a lot.
Luciano.
So, you know, just like Spencer, I've always been a Zack Snyder fan, except for Sucker Punch and Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman.
Fuck you.
And
just everything he's ever
done. This just, I'm going to say the one positive thing about this movie that it proves me right, that Zack Snyder is a shit storyteller. It's the last like 25 minutes of this movie is some of the worst cinema I've ever seen. There's nothing happening very fast. It's boring. Things don't make sense. They get hand-waved. Like, he is much more concerned with how things look and how much slow motion he can shoehorn into shit and is not worried about what the slow motion is showing and why it exists. And just in general, it was just a very painful experience to watch this movie. And I really want my 2 hours back. There could have been probably an hour without the slow motion. And I'm going to say it. This movie might be worse than Morbius for me.
Whoa.
It might be the lowest low of popcorn and plot holes for me. This is clearly an F. If there was a G, I would give it a G, because I just fucking hated this movie with a passion. And yeah, that's it. Don't watch it if you can help it.
But the grain.
You've currently spent almost 2 hours listening to a shitbag this movie. But that was probably time well spent to get to this review.
That's not listen, my middle name. Listen. Matthias Shitbag.
That was the only upside. The only upside of what having to like watching this movie was that I knew we were going to get to shit talk it today. So, yeah. You know.
Fair enough. Matthias Shitbag Bloodstash.
Bloodstash. The third.
The third. Esquire. What is your review of this
Commander
movie?
Matthias.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think I said earlier when we were just starting to talk about it, I was like, this was actually a lot better than I expected it, because just in my mind, I thought it was going to be so much worse. I think the fact that I didn't see the first one helped, in the sense that as a standalone movie, it was badly executed, but at least it somewhat made sense. Bad guy wants grain, bad guy, you know, shows up and does stuff, and there's ninjas or fishing ninjas and like swords. There was a lot happening. I blacked out a few times. It was a bit weird. Yeah, I mean, I think what really struck me is when I saw the weird sort of Eyes Wide Shut a scene, because I wish I had a bag over my head, and you know, I really wanted to be those guys, and I'm going to carry that with me here. I'm going to give it, I'm probably going to give it an F. I was thinking maybe I would give it a G as well, but I think G for grain, but obviously we can't do that. So,
yeah, apropos,
you know, we can't get the grain. That's just the way it is. Yeah, I just found it, I found that everybody had really good oral hygiene. I didn't bring this up. That I did like. So it was a positive. That's one thing I can say. Oral hygiene is great. Physical hygiene, terrible. But oral hygiene, tops. Like, very, very nice. So, yeah, I'm going to give it an F. Comfortably an F.
Fuck you guys.
Wait for it. Spencer, I would like also to review this movie.
Yeah, I know.
I want to like Zack Snyder. I like his ideas. I think at a high level, he thinks of creative things. And at an unhigh level, he does this thing where he forgets that in order to put things in your movie, they need to make sense.
Okay, doctor.
So individually... Individually, he does some really cool things in this movie. You know, there are some scenes. I think I don't mind the ships. I don't even mind the idea there's a crank in the sense to move the gun, because it's like, yeah, they don't need a better tech, I guess, fine. But then when you start thinking about all this stuff, it's like, well, why do they need grain? Why do they need coal? Why do they need to crank the guns on their ship when they clearly have like all this other future tech for murdering? And so like, I can't help but just like think about this stuff. Because normally in a movie, I want to give it as much leeway as possible to be like, yeah, okay, fine. Go ahead. I don't care. Right? Like, even the grain thing, I'm like, I guess you got to start it somewhere. But you don't have to come back to it again and again. That's just bad storytelling. That's just not being creative for a space epic that spends its whole entire movie plotted around grain on one tiny planet. So like with Spencer's rating, I think for me, it's also an E. It is a very, very not good movie. But there are hints of good ideas. I choose to put an E on this because I think that I want Zack Snyder in a room with me writing this movie. So when I can't think of a cool visual trick, I can ask him for one.
Yeah.
and then throw out like 80% of them because they don't make sense to the plot of the movie. But those two times would be really cool.
I think it's more. It would be more useful if you were there for every time he tries to do something stupid. You can smack him upside the head and say, "No, bad well, no, Snyder,
but,
bad."
No, no, but that's why I'm in charge, and he gives me ideas so I can.
Ignore I see. Him, I see right? what you mean. Okay.
If he's in charge, he does this.
He's just like the happy-go-lucky guy. He said, "What if we put a
yeah
a sword that's powered by hand jobs?" Like, no, yep. no.
I know that was a good
great
idea.
Great idea, Zach. We'll put on this. This is the best idea.
The best idea of the movie. What are you talking about?
yeah. So E is the final answer I'm coming up with. That's the final verdict.
There are tidbits. Honestly, when I was watching this movie, I was like, this some of this could work, but it all should have just been in the ending of the last movie. Like her
like a 10-minute scene.
Like her hooking up with Gunner, like came out of nowhere. It should have been in the ending of the last movie after they've been together for the whole movie. And then at the end he dies, which has meaning because you've seen them connect the whole movie. And the final battle against Bandit, the main bad guy, of course.
Okay. I just wanted to know what our connection was.
And then, and then she fights the main bad guy in this battle, not randomly at the end of the last movie on top of some weird floaty thing. I mean, it's just so obvious to anyone's movies and structure. It's baffling sometimes.
Listen, Matt, Spencer, all I can really say is... in the words of Jeff Healy, I see where you're coming from.
And fuck Luciano, too.
Why is he getting flack now?
You're a fucking monster.
No, he didn't want to say it to me, Spencer.
Yeah, he's like, Matt,
Speaking of monsters, our next movie is the Jordan Peele, Dev Patel vehicle. Monkey Man.
I don't think there's a monster in that movie.
Oh, no. Is that like a monkey
swear
king?
To God, if he doesn't kill someone with a monkey, I'm going to be fucking done.
Yeah. Like, I haven't watched the movie. I have no...
Spence, you told us?
Yeah,
Beekeeper didn't even kill one person with bees.
He didn't kill one guy with bees.
Got to kill us with monkeys.
I mean, if at least sick a monkey on somebody.
Yeah, something. So this movie has gone to the ears, but it's also a direct release. So you should be able to pick it up from YouTube or otherwise. But we're going to watch Monkey Man. And fuck, it better be better than this.
I can't see it not being better than this.
Yeah. All righty. Monkey Man, join us next week. It's got to be better than this, right? It'll be fine, guys. It'll be fine. Come back. You're good. All right. We'll see you next time.
Coming up next week on Popcorn and Plot Holes, we watch The Monkey Man.
Get him, Rafiki!